Hello, welcome to Holden Village. Today is July 19th, 2005. Today's session is entitled, Is Contemporary Poetry Worth Reading? Presented by Kate Schwen. Disc number SCK-2005-07.
Hi, welcome, and thanks for coming. My name is Kate Schwen, and when I'm not here at Holden, I live in Iowa City, where I'm studying at the Iowa Writers Workshop, and where I'll be teaching creative writing this fall. And this week, doing a series of sessions on poems. And the way that I've introduced classes before has been, we're going to go through a poem, and we're going to really try to dig into the poem and really work through it and sort it out. We're not going to do that today. Today we're going to read some poems, try to say some general things about them, and then sort of use those as springboards into writing some of our own stuff, and then try to come together at the end to try to say something about what the experience of writing using these methods was like for people. And based on that, some other questions, perhaps, if we can get to them. As we go through these poems, the question, that they're each dealing with different forms. And so we're going to ask the question, what does the form permit or encourage the writer to do that other forms might not? And what might the form discourage? And I'm going to explain that a little more in a second. First, just some sort of, this is very, very general and brief. When we talk about form in terms of poetry, what are we talking about? Does anybody have an idea or a sense or... Yeah.
Repetition, rhyme, and syllables.
Repetition, rhyme, and syllables. Okay, those are certainly definitely elements of what might come together to constitute a form. Basically, what forms have to do with limitations, with boundaries, which with sort of setting up some sort of skeleton around which the poet's going to place the words. Some popular ones that people might recognize, the sonnet is a specific form, though there's different types of sonnets. The sestina, the villanelle, haiku, these are all different forms that have certain rules that the poet follows or attempts to follow. There also are a lot of forms that maybe the poet invents on their own or just decides that they're going to say have four quatrains in their poem. A quatrain is a stanza that has four lines. Maybe the poet says, okay, I'm going to have four quatrains, and the first line is going to have four beats, and the second line is going to have three beats, and then four beats, and then three beats, and it's going to follow that way for each quatrain. So we don't have maybe a name for that, but the poet has set themselves up to do that. Does that kind of make sense? A lot of times, what the poet... especially in years past, these forms are set up around principles, like Aaron mentioned, such as meter, which is how many stressed and unstressed syllables there are going to be in a certain line, or it's made up around how many stanzas there are going to be, how many lines there are going to be per stanza, where you're going to have rhymes within there. Things like that. Does that sort of make sense? Is everybody kind of familiar with like what poetic forms kind of have looked like in the past? Is that okay? So then poets have been working very highly in form for a long time, and then free verse came along, and so and that kind of exploded things. Poets wanted to say that there could be rhythm in poems, but it wouldn't have to follow a particular meter. It wouldn't have to follow particular rules. It could just sort of come out naturally. And the person that a lot of times people think of in terms of free verse is Whitman, and sort of that expansiveness of his voice just coming across the page. And Whitman certainly has rhythm, but he doesn't. And every once in a while, he'll start seeming to follow a certain meter, but then he'll break back out of that. So free verse came along, and we could get into a lot larger discussion about how that changed the rules of poetry. But basically, there's still poets writing in these older, more established forms, but also poets writing in free verse. So then, more and more as things progressed, poets started thinking about, like, what other forms could we use? Like, are there other forms that are just present that we have in different kinds of writing that we could write poems around? And so those are the forms that we're going to look at today. And the first one we're going to start with is, we might have to share here. It's a poem by a man named Dean Young. He's here. And it's called True False. Let's start with his sharing. The best way to do this one, I think, is just to go around and everybody can read line after line. It goes on the back, too. We have 100 statements here on this true-false test. So the way that we're going to go around, just so we can kind of do it rapidly, and everybody's kind of aware, we'll start here, go this way, across by Peter, around, all the way to Mark, over to Michael, back to you three. And then we'll start around the table. So Jim will start, and then we'll go around right here. Does that kind of make sense?
Reading okay. One of these.
Yep, so each when it comes to you, just read whatever. And you can say the number if you want to, but we don't have to say the numbers. It's fine. So go ahead.
Usually my first answer is correct.
I want to break things.
I hear voices.
I am good at following orders.
I like jury duty.
Washing in 6 times a day isn't excessive.
I never had sex with an elm.
I'm fascinated by fire.
Sometimes when I'm alone, I cry for no reason.
I like to have my teeth clean.
There are too many stars.
Mine? I no longer smoke.
I intentionally miss bell loops, so no one thinks I'm too involved in appearances.
Several things have happened to me.
I would like to design evening wear.
A peephole is most effective when you have to stoop.
Quarks exist only in theory, thank God.
Our water is poisoned.
If I were jumping out of an airplane, I'd want to pack my own shoes.
My cats are cool today.
Don't chop at Ponderosa.
Sometimes I get feelings of deja vu.
In badminton, the birdie causes far more injuries than the racket.
It's a waste of time to try to understand. I cannot sleep.
Rock and roll changed the world.
Throwing like a girl is proof of physical inadequacy.
Sometimes my headaches last for days.
Use a number 2 pencil.
I don't mind spending extra time with it.
The background.
Yep.
I see nothing wrong with implants.
There are more colors now than 20 years ago.
I like sponge cake.
My wrong answers won't come against me.
I am a murderer.
AIDS is not caused by a virus. It's the drugs that make people sick.
Christmas lights are okay in Mexican restaurants year round.
The cat is superior to the dog.
Some of the commandments seem extreme.
If you limp with aces, you'll never fold with aces.
Everyone should study history because the present is too complicated and no one knows a fucking thing about the future. I would have been a good cowboy.
Don't stand so close to me. I could write a novel if I had the time.
The homeless are dangerous.
Plastic utensils cause cancer.
No one asked you.
Tony made a mistake getting married.
How
do
you make a mistake getting the
boys? It's
parking meters lie.
Stay out of Indiana. If there's a member missing.
Bicycles keep getting better.
Glitter should be strewn, never drizzled.
Smashing a modern clock isn't very satisfying.
Criminals should not be allowed to lift weights.
The male pelican is responsible for hatching the egg.
Before answering a question, consider who is asking and why.
Don't let Mary die.
Most hospitals keep some leeches busy.
Spread your love when it sticks to the wall.
Stay with me and be my love. Spending a major home.
along. Too bad the zoo's closed.
The meaning of every word comes from context, and whereas context is created by other words, meaning can never be fixed, but you can cross a stream on loose, slippery rocks without getting wet by keeping a strong forward momentum.
Tiny transmitters have been put in my back.
We are shadows thrown against a cave wall.
Oh, I worry what's happening, about what's happening to the hospital.
Sometimes I get feelings of deja vu.
I wish I were younger. I was younger.
I am an orphan.
I play piano.
Zinc.
I'd like to improve the etiology of my vocabulary.
I wonder what's happened to my garbage.
Here's 50 cents.
A woman eating a banana.
Everything worth doing has been done.
We are number one.
There are too many cell phone panels.
The night is cold, the wind is sharp.
Heart attack is no longer a big deal. A single diamond makes the point.
Mm. Iceland is the last frontier.
It is worse to lose an eye than a thumb.
I believe in God.
Literacy is higher than ever, but reading is at an all-time low.
The policeman is there to help.
I'd like to have my eyes examined.
You can't construct a workable model of the universe using only four dimensions.
The baby comes when the mother and the father take a shower together.
Earthquake preparedness, what a joke.
Crop circles are proof.
I often have unexplained pains.
I've crooked joints.
I'm cooked.
Oh, cooked joints. That too.
I went bad.
I'm sorry.
Between 10 to 20% is always a waste.
The results of this test will be quite confidential.
Okay, awesome. What did you guys think? Do you like it? Do you not like it?
I love it.
What? You like it? Okay, great. You love it. Anybody not? Anybody kind of have a bad reaction?
How recently was it written? Just curiosity.
Pretty recently. This is from Dean Young's newest book, which is called Elegy on Toy Piano, and it came out this year. So.
It does not fit my image of poetry.
Mm. Great. Why not?
Well, I don't know. I haven't formulated my image.
But there's something about it that definitely is not what we normally expect when we get a poem, for sure.
Yeah, just, I don't know, randomness comes to mind. It does not go anywhere.
Okay, doesn't go anywhere. Anybody want to argue against that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Definitely. I think poetry is something that works inside of you. Like drama does. It happens to you. Mm-hmm. And this really happens to you.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there seems to be almost a pattern to the concept behind each question, you know. You'll have silly things like, you know, too bad the zoo's closed, and then all of a sudden, I believe in God. And
right.
So it's switching almost in a, like a sine wave between serious mm-hmm. and, you know, fluff.
That's great. So let's take that a little bit further. What types of, we have a bunch of different types of statements in this poem, and sometimes they're hard to say exactly, but you're right, like some of them are beliefs, right? So sometimes there's a statement of belief. What other kinds of things do we have?
Well, does belief go with opinion too?
Opinion, sometimes. Yeah. I believe, but also I think. So they're prefaced by that this is coming from him.
Yeah.
Well,
okay, what else?
Most of them are first person.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a couple of imperatives stuck
okay,
in.
Okay, great.
Don't shop at Pottery Barn. Where's the other one I saw? Don't let Mary drive.
Parking meters lie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I was looking and see if there's a spacing of the imperative.
Right.
And I couldn't, I haven't had time to look at that yet.
That's great, though. That's.
I was going to say, it seems a little bit like somebody was eavesdropping and then just taking things that they heard people saying, mm-hmm. because I don't think the I is the author, so it's kind of interesting to think about like putting these together in context, because one of the things he talks about is context, so it almost seems like these are taken out of context, and taken out of context, it creates kind of an interesting flow.
Well, okay. All you have to do is ride the city bus and listen
right.
to all the people on their cell phone.
Right, and that's
and
kind of
what write it down.
Yeah.
So there's a sense of this greater context of all of kind of firing off in all directions, that sense that Jim was saying of it kind of being disjointed, but we're dealing with a true false test here, right? So it always is going to come back every time we hear a statement, we always have to make at some level a decision about what that statement, what would it be like if it was true, what would it be like if it was false, what exactly is going on there? And some of these statements we get are put forward as facts, right? We get those too. There's that one, and some of them are obviously ridiculous, right? And some of them, you kind of get to a point, right, where you start to not quite be sure what is the easy answer, true, false. Like that one about leeches. The first time I read the poem, I was like, ha ha, false. And my brother Michael's like, no, they still actually do keep leeches around in hospitals. It's like, right? So there's a sense that what we believe automatically to be true or false, that's not quite as simple as that, right? Go ahead.
Didn't leave much room for maybes.
It didn't leave much room for maybes. So there weren't any that you wondered about?
No.
You always had a sense of what was true or false?
What I think is true.
What you think is true or false. Okay, so we're dealing with what you think is true or false, but also maybe...
True or false,
but you also have a sense that there's a poet and there's other people in this, that so that when we get to statements like, Tony shouldn't have gotten married, well, I also know that Tony Hoagland is one of this person's good friends, and so he's referring to one of his friends, and that there's a sense that there might be another story going on there. So
I really enjoyed the part where it seems like it's personal and then it broadens out.
Yes.
It's personal and then it broadens
okay.
out. And I think, I don't know, I haven't gone through carefully enough, but I think that there's some potential patterning to that.
Okay. And we also, there's that one statement too where he just, I mean, one of my favorite ones is where he says, zinc.
Yeah.
Like.
Number 74.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, John.
I like number 54, which is there's a number missing.
Yeah.
Because there is. 25 is missing. So it's a question completely within the text that we're or the poem that we're reading, and not
great.
Not even outside at all.
So it's referring to itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's also the whatever the what's happened to the apostrophe where
yeah.
the apostrophe
yeah.
is missing.
Do you know what number is missing? 25.
Yeah.
I spotted that when we came down because there were 19 here. And my next number was 39 or something like that.
Okay, well, we could talk about this poem for a long time. And we'll come back to the question, Jim's question of, like, is this a poem? Do people think it's a poem? But we're going to come back to that at the end, because I want to move through these other two pretty quickly. But before we get to the other two, I want to brainstorm really quick. Give me a list of body parts. Just wait, what, knee? Is that what you said?
Uh-huh.
Okay. What else?
Spleen.
Oh,
spleen.
I'm sorry, the spleen.
Great.
Esophagus.
Esophagus.
The veil is
awesome. Ooh, great.
Table.
Heart. Tail.
Okay. What?
Heart.
Heart. Great, okay. Perfect. Now, I want a list of Bible characters. Specifically ones that maybe you don't know that much about, but you'd like to know more about.
Bildad.
Who? Wait, who is it? No, let me write it down.
Who?
Spell it for me.
B-I-L-D-A-D.
B-A-D?
D-A-D. Bildad.
D-A-D. Awesome. Who else?
Ruth.
Ruth.
Lot's wife.
Lot's wife. Good answer, John.
Exactly.
or ones that you like.
The woman at the well.
Woman at the well. Okay, that's great. Now I'd like a list of family members, your family members. So, like, one of my family members is Aunt Sauce. So I'll put that down. So give me a...
Skeeter.
Skeeter? Yeah. And what's his relation to you?
What is he, second cousin?
Second cousin Skeeter,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Grandma Bob.
What?
Grandma Bob.
Grandma Bob?
Bob.
Bob.
Grandma Bob.
Okay. Anybody else? One more? Somebody's got to have another relative.
Second cousin daughter.
Second cousin daughter.
Yeah.
And forgive me for all of my spelling errors here.
Her
name is daughter?
Yeah.
Daughter.
So it's a little
That's her name. Like
we have roots all across the South, so forgive us. We're sorry.
Okay.
But we've moved on to the Puget Sound. So
okay. Now that's great. That'll be great for you.
So much New York.
All right. We're going to rush through these other... Well, maybe we'll just do... Okay, we'll do both of the other ones, but we're going to go through pretty quickly, so I'm not going to ask for a lot of thoughts till the end, so forgive me. The next one we're going to do, does somebody want to, Joel, would you be in charge of passing these out? We might have to share them. Is about Casper Hauser, which I'm sure other people know more about than I do. But Casper Hauser was a boy who, at the age of, I believe, around, does anybody know the exact age when he appeared? It was on May 26, 1828, and he wandered into Nuremberg, Germany, clutching a letter. And the letter was addressed to the captain of the 4th Squadron of the 6th Cavalry Regiment. And the writer of the letter, whoever that was, asked the captain to either take Casper or hang him. And Casper, I think was around 16 when he appeared, but had like the mental development of a 6-year-old. And when he arrived and they kept asking him about his upbringing, he could only repeat, "I want to be a writer like my father." That was all he would say. "I want to be a writer like my father. I want to be a writer like my father." There's a movie that documents, does anybody know the name of the movie? Documents a man who worked with Casper Hauser and over the years sort of got Casper Hauser to unfold his story. It turned out that for the 10 to 12 beginning years of his life, he lived in a 2x1 by 1.5 meter cell and was fed pretty much basically bread and water. But there's a lot of mystery around his life. People thought that maybe he had royal blood. Later on, somebody tried to kill him with an axe, and somebody eventually stabbed him to death. That's how he died. So that's all I know, but that's the background a little bit for this poem, which isn't just about Casper Hauser, but it is self-portrait as Casper Hauser, which is a little bit different. Can I get, let's see, Joel and John, Joel, would you be the one reading in italics, and John, would you respond as Casper Hauser?
Now?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. What was it like then?
In my prison, I thought of nothing.
What did you think of?
Not boot or trouser, not the bearable light or trough, not rain, not bread or wagon, water, rain.
What was it like?
The heart that I known I had one had folded in, as if an ox lay down in rue and hay. I lay still.
What did you think then?
I was a scar, a scoop of swale, an apple cart left out in an orchard. It is December now, nothing.
Could you speak then?
The white of the paper blinded me.
Could you speak aloud?
I was a wonderment.
Were you able to speak?
Once, I felt a joy. This was as old as beasts of burden working in the grainy fields, a plow of good white speech. There was a toy in the shape of a small white horse. It was to me a living form. I was its equal, grief, the same grieved thing, wheeling and unworldly, wild as wheat. I willed to be wandering in the waving fields of eel.
underwater in the salt marsh of the moors. A hatchet, flowering, a bulky calf. As I touched the flame, I did not know how to flinch, but cried.
Thanks. So a couple things, there's a lot to be said about this poem. A couple things that I just want you to notice. That we now have two voices going on, but the fact that it's sort of this interview style permits two voices. The questions that are asked are sometimes asked, we get, could you speak then? Could you speak aloud? Were you able to speak? Sometimes it's the kind of the same question being repeated in different ways. And that the responses that are given, Caspar Hauser, you know, had this sort of mental development of a six-year-old. So these are certainly words that probably Caspar Hauser himself would not have been in possession of. And yet, I think, and we could argue about this later, there's a sense of disorientation still in the poem. There's a sense of words kind of getting jumbled together or repeated that have the sense of Caspar Hauser while also probably having a different vocabulary, perhaps the one of the poet, so that there's kind of some sort of blending going on there a little bit. And we'll come back to this in a second, but because I really want to get into a place where you guys are actually experimenting with these yourself. Yes, thank you. This is a prose poem by Robert Haas, and so it's not following any sort of form, right? So any breaks that you see at the end of the line are just natural prose breaks. The poet himself is not making any decisions there. Does that make sense? Like, it's not like they're really long lines or anything like that. Okay, so I'll read this one quickly. A story about the body. The young composer, working that summer at an artist's colony, had watched her for a week. She was Japanese, a painter, almost 60, and he thought he was in love with her. He loved her work, and her work was like the way she moved her body, used her hands, looked at him directly when she made amused or considered answers to his questions. One night, walking back from a concert, they came to her door, and she turned to him and said, "I think you would like to have me. I would like that too. But I must tell you, I have had a double mastectomy. And when he didn't understand, I've lost both my breasts." The radiance that he had carried around in his belly and chest cavity, like music, withered very quickly. And he made himself look at her when he said, "I'm sorry, I don't think I could." He walked back to his own cabin through the pines. And in the morning, he found a small blue bowl on the porch outside his door. It looked to be full of rose petals, but he found when he picked it up that the rose petals were on top. The rest of the bowl, she must have swept them from the corners of her studio, was full of dead bees. Okay. Does anybody want to, before I sort of give some assignments out, anybody want to just make initial comments to either of those poems? They're both pretty kind of heavy poems, and I don't want to... Any initial thoughts or reactions that people want to... Okay. So, your task, should you accept it, is that we'll write for about 5 minutes. And during that time, I would like you to take up one of these, to try to imitate one of these forms. So, either to do a true-false test that sort of circles around yourself to a certain extent, right? By having some things, I believe, I think, or having an I in there, I should say, that I could be somebody other than you. If you do this one, try to mix it up in the way that Dean Young does. Have some statements that are imperatives, have some that are facts, have some, you know, you could be self-referential in terms of the poem. If you get stuck, you can even look at his, take one out, fill in a different line. But the idea is just to keep numbering, just to number, statement, number, statement, number, statement, Do you kind of see how what an imitation of that might look like? And if you feel really motivated to do that one, I didn't bring them in, but I was going to bring in Harper's Magazine, you know, has the Harper's Index there with lots of facts in it.
That's what I thought of reading.
Yes, so if you feel motivated to do this one and you want to grab a Harper's Magazine from out in the reading room and pull a couple facts from there, you're welcome to and insert them in. Okay, then the second idea is to choose a Bible character and to do an interview with them. If you choose that one, there's a couple options. You could use the same questions that we have on the Casper Hauser one. So for instance, maybe you're talking to Ruth and you say, what was it like then? Then you need to respond as Ruth. What did you think of? Respond as Ruth. Does that make sense? You could also use these same questions, but instead interview second cousin Skeeter. And I don't care if you don't know second cousin Skeeter, you can respond as second cousin Skeeter if you would like to. Or, third version of this, even more complicated, is to have one of these characters interview one of these characters, or vice versa, using different questions, okay? So, and you can fill in one of your own family members or yourself here if you want to, like what would Ruth say if she was interviewing you? There's kind of a lot of, do you see how there's like a lot of different ways you can do that? It doesn't have to be the questions that are on this sheet, but if you're having trouble coming up with questions, come back to one of these. And if it could be this, the interview could be the same question over and over again and different answers. Do people see the options for this one? More or less? Okay. And the third assignment is to write a story about the knee or spleen or esophagus. And this could even go more, I'd invite you to do it when thinking about it more in a prose poem style, so to not feel like you're writing in lines, but to feel like you're really telling a story as a prose thing. And maybe what it does is turn into, I mean, I'd argue that this is a poem, but maybe you start and it turns into something much longer too. You can also combine these things in some crazy fashion or write something totally different that has nothing to do with this. But what I would like is if everybody can try to write constantly for 5 minutes. We did a session on the Surrealists last week, and Surrealists believe that you get at your unconscious more if your pen's moving so fast that sometimes your brain doesn't have a chance to catch up. So, and if you run out of one assignment, switch to another one. Does everybody have paper and pen?
I can use a
writing utensil. Great. Does anybody have questions? I've gone through this really quickly, and I know we haven't fleshed out everything. So please, does anybody have questions? Okay, so begin. could take one more minute to finish up kind of whatever sentence or statement you're working on right now. Maybe read through what you wrote, because I am phenomenally excited to hear some of these. Feel like you're really in a space where you want to keep writing, you can feel free to keep writing and ignore my voice. So I want to get as many people to share here as possible. We'll save the last 5 or 10 minutes for a little bit further conversation, but I definitely want people to share. And please know as you're sharing, first of all, that we all just did this together, so no one's work here is going to be perfect, or, I mean... If it is, that's great for you, but that's not the expectation. And so that we're all here to sort of delight in each other's words and not to bring them down or anything. And know that there's something really good in whatever you just wrote. I promise you that right now. So that no one should feel embarrassed or reading. Is there somebody who... What? At least there's some words that are probably spelled right. That's true. Is there anyone who would start? Yeah?
Sure.
Anders?
I'll share my true-false.
True-false, all right.
It's kind of short. Ducks sometimes walk sideways. Things can be green. Houses carry diseases and pass them from chimney to chimney. Your ancestors are tree climbers. Cars move fast relative to squirrels. Cones can be fun. You voted. The sky might be falling slowly.
Oh, any lines there that you guys particularly liked?
I like the cars move fast relative to squirrels. All about perspective.
I love the disease spread through the chimneys.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great.
That was so beautiful. Anything else people want to?
You voted.
Yeah. That's great. Wow, wonderful. Thank you so much, Anders. Do you
want to
share?
All right. This is basically one step up from a flow of consciousness, so...
No problem.
So it was gone. That's what they told me. Faulty genes, faulty uterus, not sure. The heart could not beat, and the spleen was gone. The womb a battle zone, and I was to be relieved of my duties and sent home stateside to heaven. Through the miracle of scalpel, thread, and wonder plastics, I stand here today, smoking pot by the pound and hard-packed camels by the carton. I do not care for the work that they have done to preserve me. For through my actions, I preserve God's intent. Why I do not... My handwriting is atrocious. Why I do not consider that is the... Wow, that is so profoundly unreadable. Another equally self-defeating... Why that is the subject of another equally self-defeating tale. But for now, I shall soak up my smoke and soak up his son, caring for the son I may one day have of my own, continuing my pattern of societal and divine defiance.
Cool. Any lines or moments you guys, or even words you particularly liked? Things about it? I love that it seems to be the beginning of a story about an entire body, but that knows all of its relative parts, both physically and it seems to have an awareness of how it works, both psychologically and mentally. That's really interesting. I like that. Any other things people liked or
that some of the parts might not have been working, but they came back together again to work as a whole.
Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Okay, who's next?
I guess I will.
Awesome.
Okay, I did the true false as well. One, I think the moon is green. Two, peanut butter doesn't come from nuts. Three, don't jump backwards. Four, I like raspberries. Five, I want to milk a cow. Six, don't drink soap. Seven, leave 7.5 minutes early. Eight, I believe that you can't fail if you try. Nine, there are good bacteria in yogurt. 10, green looks the same to me as it does to you. 11, don't stand up too fast. 12, I believe that there are aliens. 13, we can end world hunger. 14, Pennsylvania has the American flag. 15, fish need oxygen too. 16, my hands are calloused. 17, mom's at church. 18, I didn't leave a message. 19, the Arctic is a desert. 20, pine cones are fragrant.
Hey, it's wonderful. What lines do people like? What themes running through it?
American flag.
The American flag, yeah.
Mom's at church.
Mom's at church.
Followed by I didn't leave a message.
Yes. And I like that, definitely like the other one we looked at, you sort of worked your way into the zone of, some of them I definitely wasn't, I became not sure which way the speaker would have, when it got to like, I want to milk a cow, I was like, ooh, is that a good thing or a bad thing? You want to try, you don't want to. Wow, anything else that people liked? These are just great. Oh, thank you for sharing. Anybody else? Did anybody do one that wasn't the true-false, or did everybody go with that one? You did sort of, yours was closer to story about the body in certain ways, yeah. Did you do one?
Self-portrait.
Oh, great. Will you read yours? Okay. Did you guys feel a sense of who that person was, kind of beginning to come out of there?
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see that pushed further, you know? To see what, I mean, I think you have an really interesting character developing there. It'd be interesting to see where it could go.
It reminds me, it makes me think of it as like a precursor to a poem a friend of mine wrote called Tributary that was about the life and death of the unknown soldier that had, you know, like a phase for each, for like, you know, him as a child, as an adult, and then in the military, and then death.
Oh, wow.
And that seems kind of like the interview with the guy.
Yeah, yeah. Wonderful, very cool. Somebody else? Yeah? Great.
A story about the body prompted memory of a personal experience.
Great.
I was standing confidently. The tent was flapping in the wind. I invited comments, memories, tributes, humor. It was time to gather my own. I had done it often. The committal was to be a kind of closure. The words were familiar. The emotions were different. I knew what to say, but couldn't speak. The casket was lowered. Mom was listening, but could not hear.
Wow. Wow. Thank you. What do people like about that one? What other things caught your attention?
Closing
kind of slowly with single words. There was a slow momentum. Thank you. Anyone else? One more?
Yeah. I did the interview stuff.
Great.
Why did you go to the well? That my feet have sandals and the ground sand. What did he say to you? He had brown eyes, brown as kindness and mud. Why did you go to the well? The ground is parched, my tongue drifts and blows away in the wind. Did you know he was the Messiah? I know nothing. Why did you go to the well? Children came from my womb into the desert, but my breasts ran dry.
Wow. That was wonderful. What do you guys like?
She could write that in 5 minutes.
What's the, say the line about the tongue again?
The ground is parched, my tongue drifts and blows away in the wind.
My tongue what?
Drifts and blows away. And her refusal to answer certain of those questions, to kind of, or answer them indirectly. Just, do you have a sense of the place that that poem is existing in? The setting? Mm-hmm. Kind of like that. Covered a lot.
I like the connection with the earth and the multiple uses of water.
Yeah. Although I got dust out of it too.
Juxtaposition
is good.
Yep.
I like the juxtaposition of, you know, drastically different things with the same thing associating a lot of other things. Like, you know, I had the sandals and the desert had the sand, so why not?
Yeah. And there's the question, did he speak to you? And then the answer is, his eyes were brown. How did that go?
Brown eyes, brown as kindness.
Yeah. I just love that when asked, did he speak to you, that person's initial response is the person's eyes rather than what was said. I think that's great. Oh, you guys, these are awesome. Thank you so much. I want to just take a couple minutes more of discussion, but if we haven't heard from you, I would encourage you to at least read what you've written to somebody else today. I would love to listen, and so we have Vespers pretty soon, but feel free to catch me, or if you don't feel comfortable with that, but you want to hand it to me, I'd be glad to read it at a different time, and we can arrange a time to sit down and talk about it, but please share with somebody else what you've done, because these are, like, phenomenal. I'm completely impressed and overjoyed. The question that I kind of want to get back to you, now we've kind of, and we have, let's see, 9 minutes here. This question of these forms, what they permit us to do, or what they discourage us from doing. And now you've read the poems, so you encountered them as readers, but you also used them as writers. So both in the reading of them, what do you feel like they permitted or discouraged? But also in trying, if you tried to write the true-false poem, were there certain things that you felt that, like, in writing it that you hadn't been able to do before as a writer that suddenly you were permitted to do? And to back up a little bit in terms of the form itself, what does it permit or exclude? An example is, for instance, a sestina is a form where you choose 6 words, and each stanza of the poem has 6 lines that end with one of those words, and they keep getting repeated at the end of each line. Does that make sense? There's 6 lines, and so the words get repeated a bunch of times throughout the poem. And I had a teacher once tell me, who wrote sestinas a lot, it's very hard to have the speaker of your sestina be someone who's not mildly crazy, because you have to have, your speaker of the poem has to be somebody who would be constantly repeating these words. There has to be a reason that these words are getting repeated so much. And so if the speaker's not crazy, there has to be something motivating that, because the form is saying you have to do this kind of repetition. The same with Villanelle repeats 2 lines over and over again. And the form makes it so that there's going to be so much pressure on those 2 lines that those 2 lines have better be able to do different things in each line. They better be kind of expansive and able to take on a lot of different levels of meaning. So the question is, in either reading or writing these poems, what did they permit you to do or permit the poem to do or what? Talk to me.
I feel like the true-false sort of somehow allows you to make a statement, like one line, one statement, sort of with some kind of confidence or that it won't offend someone because it's not like you're saying it, you're asking them.
You know,
I don't know exactly.
So there's some level of, like, you get to say more because you get to hide behind whether you're actually taking responsibility for believing that.
It's like you're putting it on the person that you're asking.
Yeah, so it gets put on, the responsibility is on the reader instead of on you. Yeah, great, yeah.
Yeah, the thing I was kind of struggling with was I can't ask questions directly. So you have to make the judgment, and then that, you know, you have to find the answer to be able to understand what the question would have been.
So. Great. So you, at a certain level, you have to come to some conclusions yourself, and sometimes some of us who are better at asking questions and don't want to be putting things out there, you're suddenly forced to be somebody who's going to make these statements over and over again. Okay. Anything else?
I selected the self-portrait style, and what I found is I could use the question to be as preposterous as I wanted to be, mm-hmm. or to be as sort of, you know, within the storyline, and I also had selected a woman at the well,
okay.
to be as much a biblical end as I wanted to be.
Okay.
And so it was, I had a sense of freedom.
Yeah.
By having this opportunity to ask the questions and then to answer them, or not, or select not to answer them.
Right.
With the brown eyes.
Okay. So it automatically gives a character a freedom of either responding to it or refusing to respond to it. So you have to make that choice every time you're responding or not responding, and
in the question itself.
And the question itself. Yeah. Great. So you get to kind of play both sides, both in what would you want this character to know, but also how does this character feel about being asked that, and if they're going to respond, what would they say? Yeah. Great. What else? Is there anything that you felt like? Like, I would say, okay, so the true-false test poem, there's a lot of things you could say about the speaker. It probably isn't a good form if you want to be doing a sort of Wordsworth style, I'm, you know, walking through the hills and fields and reflecting slowly on the qualities of my life, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, right? I mean, because each sentence is shifting into a different gear, right? So are there things that you felt that you think these forms discourage, or that felt limiting to you?
Yeah. I feel like the prose, that prose style really becomes a much more introspective kind
okay.
of approach.
Okay.
Very
yeah.
moving.
John?
Yeah, I feel like the prose style is a lot more almost like obligation for it to be good, you know, because there's not, like, you can do it basically whatever you want, and when you can fit something really good into a form, it seems to be even more meaningful or like
mm-hmm.
profound, I guess, because they could fit it into like a flip
kind
of form.
Oh, okay.
Like with prose, you can really basically do anything, you know, and it better be good because you don't have any limitations.
So nobody's going to be like, wow, I mean,
yeah.
The content of that wasn't so good, but I'm so glad that you rhymed those two
yeah.
words together. You must be smart about that. So no one's going to give you any credit for just being
yeah.
able to write a villanelle, because it's just a block of prose. Right, okay.
Yeah.
So the content suddenly becomes extremely important. Okay. Does anybody want to make Jim kind of start out by saying, well, this, the true-false one doesn't really feel like a poem to me. Do people want to say more about what... whether these felt like poems to you? Are they legitimate poems? Or are these new forms interesting, but you feel kind of not like you want to treat them as poems? I don't know if that wasn't very articulate. But
I would comment, call attention to the fact that each of us chose a particular form, as it were. And I don't know how much consciousness went in that, but I would guess it rather reflects our own personalities more than a conscious decision. And consequently, then, the varieties of form give us that kind of option, encourages our person, and discourages the rigidity about form.
Great. And so that even, so if the one that you naturally were drawn to choose, if you made yourself choose a different one, that in some ways that would automatically bring out another side of your personality or some other aspect.
Well, either that or make it very difficult.
Yeah, you would struggle.
I would have had 5 minutes worth of words, but I don't know that it would have been either an expression of this lady who left commented about it, it creates a drama. Mm-hmm. You know, make it less dramatic and just speak of each form eliciting some kind of emotion. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, there's no catch to it for anybody who hears it. Or for the person who writes it.
So the form itself, for it to be worthy, is going to have to be able to convey emotion. We're going to have to, somehow, in fitting that together, it's going to have to convey emotion, which maybe is more difficult to do with some, or maybe it limits the range of emotion by choosing one over another. Okay.
Or it challenges how that's expressed, I suppose. I mean, I think it looks like...
Okay.
I found it really hard, and I wanted to sort of pick each one of them. I mean, it was really hard to decide which one to go with and to make that decision sort of that fast.
Well, and I would also challenge you when you leave to try all of them. Put them together in interesting ways, you know? One more coming up.
Well, my primary concern with this, you know, whole new thing in poetry is that it is potentially a breeding ground for a lot of the worst kind of poet, the pseudo-intellectual.
Okay.
I mean, and while that concern is valid in any particular form, this, you know, sort of ethereal, we can do whatever we want, let's make this into a poem, I mean, it's just begging to go the same way that so many other mediums of art have gone in modern time.
So, I think that's a great place to end, because I think what you're saying is absolutely correct, which is that my conclusion would be that the forms themselves aren't good or bad or right or wrong, and we shouldn't say necessarily that something's not a poem or is a poem because it's using a certain form, but that we need to go back to what we used to decide whether a sonnet was a good piece of writing or not a good piece of writing, or what made a good poem or didn't make it a good poem, and apply those same standards to the new forms and to specifically poems written in those new forms, and they may or may not hold up, but the form itself doesn't necessarily need to dictate it being good or bad. Does that make sense?
Right.
Well, thank you everyone for sharing and writing and talking. This was wonderful, and please continue to share your writing. And if you're welcome to keep those poems. If you don't and are just going to throw them away, please give them back.